Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Josh! You got the touch!
Stan Bush here, and you're listening to the latest episode of All Things Transformers.
Yeah! This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello and welcome to an all-new generation of All Things Transformers as we get the origins of any and all TF fans that we can. I am, of course, TFU and Mike, and joining me this time around is Transformers super fan podcast listener, Mr. Alex Dunn. Hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, not too well. How are you, Mike?
Pretty good, pretty good. And as always, for the All Things Transformers origins questions, we got 30 questions all about Transformers. Did you grow up with Transformers, and at what age do you remember first noticing the franchise?
I think I remember them when I was pretty young. I think really I remember GoBots first, because that's the toys maybe that I saw first that some of my cousins had.
Right.
I think maybe the first Transformers I remember was a friend's older brother had Croc something and Wolfwire from like Headmasters.
Oh, wow.
Early G1.
Yeah.
So that was, I think that was the first ones I really ever saw.
Yeah. And
they were just in a bin of toys in general, so feeling like, oh, here's an alligator. It turns into most of a robot because he doesn't have a head because the head got lost.
Right.
Yeah, I know I wanted them when I was a kid, when I started to figure out what they were, but by that point, it was kind of late G1 and really didn't get into them. It was later on where when I started buying my own toys almost as an adult.
Yeah.
Kind of went a little overboard.
Yep, absolutely. What Transformers generation is your generation and why?
Well, like I said, I didn't really have or have much experience with G1 necessarily. And I kind of skipped over Beast Wars because I was always into cars and trucks and that sort of thing growing up. So the animals and Fusors were just kind of a little weird for me.
Yeah. So
probably not until like RID 2001 and Universe. Right. When I started seeing, you know, cars and trucks on the shelves again, and they looked realistic, like, you know, vehicles you could play with that also transformed.
Yep.
And it was probably, it was really, I think, alternators that got me a lot more interested, because they like the 1/18 scale vehicles or 1/24 that I would play with and collect, but they were robots, and the transformations were very interesting.
Yeah, and then you got the alternative line, which is the, like you're saying, the one scale Transformers, but the alternative line was like specific ones, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, alternative, they went a little smaller down to, I think, 1/32nd scale.
Okay.
And it was really only like two molds.
There right.
was this weird supercar that they used for the Seekers.
Yep, I remember
and
that
then,
one.
Nissan GTRs that they used for Megatron and Optimus, and I think a Star Saber version and a Fort Max Japanese continuity version. Yeah, I figured those out a little bit later, you know, just scouring the internet for more information on Transformer toys and stuff.
Yeah,
never something I saw in person stateside until later on.
So what other generations of Transformers do you like?
Pretty much everything. I've got a little bit of every generation and a little bit of every every series that's come out in the last 20 years. And then I went back and I've bought more into Beast Machines and Machine Wars and Beast Wars, and I've went back to collect some G2 and G1, and I've got pretty much all of the retail release stuff since Power of the Primes.
Oh, wow.
And I'm filling in some holes with Titans Return and Combiner Wars. And then going back a little further to Thrilling 30 and that sort of thing. I don't have as much on the movie side.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause some of that stuff was just absurd. The Bayformer stuff, it just looks absurd.
Yeah,
but I still have a fair amount of it, just not.
Not as much. You got more of everything else, not as much as the movie stuff. Yeah, there was only, and I had it for a while. I've since obviously sold it, but it's been years. But out of all the Bay movie stuff, the only one I really wanted was Ravage, and I had him. And the only reason why I wanted him was because his little eye thing was, he was black and gray, and the eye thing was purple. That was it. Those are my colors. So, you know, but that was pretty much the only movie toy I bought back in the day, because I didn't care. I don't want the outsides of the robots, or the insides of the robots on the outside. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah, got, you know, most of the Megatrons from the series, at least the important ones, and yeah, it just looks like they're turned inside out. It's not the cars and trucks that I'm so fond of.
Yeah. So speaking of the Bayverse, are you like, loath, or are you indifferent to it?
I think the first couple movies, the first three, were decent. Last night, Age of Extinction, they jumped the Cyber Shark.
Yeah.
And then Bumblebee, Rise of the Beast, they came back around. Bumblebee, I think it had story. Rise of the Beast, there was a lot of fan service in Rise of the Beast. There really was.
Yeah, there was.
But there was enough story to make it at least interesting.
I
respect the fact that the 2007 movie came out and it was able to reignite interest in the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Because without, you know, that interest, you already saw where G2 went downhill.
Yeah.
They had to reinvigorate it with Beast Wars and really change it up. And it was probably a similar point where they needed to do something to really bump it up, because 2007, you were coming up into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They were going to get lost. And, you know, get something to cause people to be interested. And, you know, every person's starting point is different. You know, people whose starting point was the 2007 movie, and, you know, that's what they're most fond of. If they're still pouring energy into the brand and it keeps going, then that's good.
Yep. Absolutely, absolutely. Who is your end-all, be-all favorite character from any Transformers incarnation? You can pick one Decepticon, one Autobot, one Maximal, one Predacon.
Obvious choice usually is Optimus Prime. I've got the most figures for him, but they've made the most figures of him, so it's kind of easy.
Mm-hmm.
Every kid loves semi-trucks. And you make a toy out of a semi-truck, and I'm pretty much sold. So, yeah, I got to go with Prom, mostly for G1. I don't know. I've liked a lot of Thundercracker toys. I just like the color blue. It's really my favorite. I wish Optimus was blue instead of red, but, you know, it is what it is.
He was blue in that one animation error in that one episode. I forget which episode it was. There's an episode of G1 where there was an animation error where they were lasered, like they were chained up or whatever. And I have a picture of it somewhere. I'll send it to you so you can use that as a profile picture if you want.
I don't know, Beast Wars. Maybe Rhinox. I don't know. Just kind of the mostly laid back, but not to be messed with, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to mess with that Chain Gun of Doom.
I kind of like Black Arachnia and a lot of the portrayals of her because she's not purely evil. She's smart. Yeah. You know, mostly does what she needs to survive, no matter what side mm-hmm. it is.
Yep. Absolutely. Are there any Transformers characters you hate? Just can't stand them, don't want to deal with them. Get them the hell out of here.
I'm kind of sick of Bumblebee. I get it. You know, kid appeal character. It was is the one to you know bring that age group into the franchise again. Mm-hmm. But just too much yellow stuff. I mean, I like the buzzworthy Bumblebee line, and some of the mm-hmm. stuff that has come through that has nothing to do with Bumblebee most of the time anymore. Yeah. But yeah, just it's so much yellow.
I think lately they've just called it the buzzworthy line. I think they dropped the Bumblebee part. I could be wrong, but I know at first it was buzzworthy Bumblebee, but now I think it's just buzzworthy. Right. I don't know, but like, yeah, like what I'm tired of with Bumblebee is number one, thank God they stopped doing the beep 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 boop bye blah, blah, blah. Radio B.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God they stopped doing that. But, like, come on. Can you get the man to come back one more time? I'm more than fine with any other voice actor that's done Bumblebee and any of the other things. But we're coming up on the 40th anniversary next year. And the only thing I think Dan Gilvezan has reprised the role in is the upcoming – I don't think it's released yet, and I don't think half of the people I know will ever even get it, but the RoboSen Bumblebee that's either coming out or is out or I forget what it – but I saw the video for the RoboSen B, and I'm like, they got the person. They got the guy. They did the thing. So I think that's the only thing – that he's really reprised the voice in forever.
Yeah. Well, it's just the live action movies though, where he's not talking. I mean,
yeah.
The early episodes of Cyberverse,
mm-hmm.
His voice was gone, but they brought it back. They used it as a plot point, not
yeah.
a joke the entire length of the franchise.
That's because the animation knows how to tell a story, unlike the movies.
Yeah, Earthspark, the voice acting is pretty good.
Yeah, it is. I'm just saying, like, it. I just wish that he could get, like, one more whatever. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe some flashbacks in the next live-action movie, or I don't know if there's a point where they can do maybe do, like, a time travel and Earthspark, where it's Bumblebee in the future and his voice is aged or something.
That would be kind of cool.
Not that we want to encourage any more time jumping, because that's almost a cliche at this point.
Yeah. Over your lifetime, as you got older, did your interest in the Transformers franchise grow stronger or get weaker?
Oh, it's definitely gotten stronger. Just, you know, collecting more and more stuff, getting more and more into other aspects besides just the toy collecting. Mm-hmm. I kind of went all in on the 2019 reboot for the IDW comics.
Uh-huh.
I decided to get the volumes initially. Right. And I didn't read past the first one. I ended up buying them all, but I didn't read them.
Yeah,
but I did start with Void Rivals. I'm trying to keep up on that, so I'm trying to read the stories and get some of the background,
mm-hmm.
just to be more interested. I still love the toys. I just like to physically mess with them and kind of have them on the shelves where you can see the different colors and shapes and versions and
right.
That's the part I enjoy about it, is just being able to physically mess with it.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Was there ever a moment in your life when you were just completely done with all of the Transformers stuff?
No, not really. There's points where I maybe wasn't as interested in the main lines coming out, but
right.
Over the last 8 years, I've been more interested in what's coming out, at least most of it. Occasionally there's some stuff that I'm like, yeah, it's kind of dumb, but...
Yeah, absolutely. So with the internet and all the fans having a voice about what they like or don't like about Transformers, do you find your voice gets lost in the shuffle, or do you just shout louder?
Honestly, I really don't care if anybody knows what my opinion is most of the time. Like, if there's other YouTube reviewers that I know a little bit, or something I might comment on, something they post on their social media, or something you might post, or a retort to somebody on Twitter occasionally, but I really don't worry about what my opinion is and who knows it. And, you know, honestly, my opinion is, if I like something, I'm going to buy it. And if I like it enough, maybe I'll buy the repaint and the whatever. Because at the end of the day, I think the group doing Transformers right now at Hasbro, they do listen for the most part to what's being said and what's out there.
Yeah. But
also they report to somebody who's looking at the purse strings.
Yep.
And I think that's where a lot of this matters. If you really don't like what Hasbro is doing with the franchise, don't financially support it.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I mean, no, absolutely. Like,
buy what they're putting out, even if it's not the absolute perfect version of something. If you show support for the good products, it's going to get better.
Yeah, the team over there now is just between Ben on marketing and Evan and Mark on design and all that, and everybody else, man. They've given us more in the last, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years than we've ever really had when it comes to this stuff. And there's a clear line of sight of what they want to do. And it's not just fan service, but also there is fan service. It's because they have to cater to so many things now. They have to cater to us. They have to cater to the new fans. They have to cater to kids. They have to whatever. And it's like, for what they're doing and what they've got to do, they're doing a great job about it.
Oh yeah, I've worked in various manufacturing for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I get their limits on what they can produce because of the cost, and you've got to convince somebody else that it's a good idea who may not care about the brand at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to show them dollars and cents why this works, and show research of what's going to sell, what's not going to sell, because they know. They put out an Optimus, it's going to sell. They put out a Bumblebee, it's going to sell. That you're going to get those characters, new versions, once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to complain about that. It's just going to happen.
Yep.
But yeah, like you said, Mark and Evan and BMAC, they're rolling out these deep cut characters.
Yeah.
Variations that you wouldn't expect. And, you know, yeah, they used a Cyclonus mold to turn it into Metalhawk.
Yep.
And maybe it's not 100% the Metalhawk you thought it would be, but you got a Metalhawk.
You got a Metalhawk. It's
actually fairly good.
Yep.
And if you put those two figures together, it's not obvious that one came from the other.
Yeah,
you know, you put Prowl next to Smokescreen. Okay, yeah, it's kind of obvious one came from the other one. But, you know, you got these variations that, you know, don't seem like they should work, but they really do. And, you know, looking at some of the stuff I've got on the shelves, you know, we've seen the Sideswipe mold how many times?
But they've done so much with it.
Yeah, and then the new one that just came out.
Yeah.
With the Armada and the Minicon. Like, the Minicon's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes back to, if you like this weird stuff that they're doing, pick it up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What is your Transformers personal anthem song? Examples, which you don't have to pick this, obviously. Stan Bush, The Touch, Dare, etc.
The one that just pops in my head is The Touch. And I think it's just, it's the intro for the 86 movie, kind of like that first big hit of Transformers song.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, you remember that first part of the movie.
Megatron must be stopped, no matter the cost.
You got the touch. You got the power.
Yeah. But the weird part is, I'll hear that, and then every once in a while, it switches over to Mark Wahlberg from Boogie Nights singing it.
God, no.
Yeah.
No, don't, and stop.
It's like, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
But then it'll fade into Dare to Be Stupid. And
mm-hmm.
It just kind of all rolls together. But yeah, it's usually The Touch and then Dare to Be Stupid. And just some of the little sound bites in the movie will pop, just some of the sight sound effects. I just kind of hear those in my head every once in a while.
One of the coolest things finally that they actually did, this was back in 2016, I think, for the, what was 2016? The 30th? Yeah, 30th anniversary. Vince DiCola had finally... What?
16 would have been 32nd anniversary.
Oh, well, it was the 30th anniversary of the movie is what, yeah.
Oh, but, 30th movie, but
So 30th anniversary of the movie, when BotCon was in Louisville, and I think it was through Entrada Records, Vince had released, finally, like an actual full length. I mean, it had been released before, but it was like a BotCon special thing, but they finally released the instrumental score to the movie, and... the scene where the Decepticons are, it's after they launch, the Decepticons chase the Autobots and it's Galvatron versus everybody and blah, blah, blah. That track closing in. Oh man, I hear that music all the time in my head when I'm thinking about Transformers. It's just so good. How often do you go back and rewatch any of the Transformers cartoons?
Not really often. I was born in 83, so by the time I was really conscious of what was on TV, it was a little past the G1 stuff.
Right.
I know I did watch Beast Wars some. But it was a hodgepodge of cartoons and stuff at that point. It was Beast Wars and Reboot, and I remember Pole Position, which apparently had a tie-in with like Hot Wheels back when. I remember that, and then that was more the right age for Ninja Turtles when those came out. That was that's what I was really kind of big into. Really young, I had, you know, basically all of the first line, the Four Turtles and Splinter and April and Shredder and Bebop and Rocksteady. And,
very cool. Very cool, very cool. We all love Transformers comics. Which incarnation do you love and why?
I guess the current one really is the one I've read the most of so far, and it hasn't even come out. Like I said, yeah, the Void Rivals has been good so far. Just introducing a couple of the characters.
Yep.
But not being like, oh, this is a Transformer comic yet. So I'm interested to see how it's all going to tie in, and what I've seen tells me or leads me to believe that the new one's actually going to be pretty good. So I'm going to try to get into it and read through it. I've always been more visual media stuff, so
yeah,
trying to get into reading more, you know, as a old adult.
You young whippersnapper, you're not an old adult. Get off my lawn.
Tell it to my niece.
That's right. How big is your Transformers toy collection?
So, being an engineer and very much techie, dorky guy, I have an Excel spreadsheet with all my Transformers on it. And we're at 1,518 characters, figures. Which, I mean, that includes, like, Titans Return is a big chunk because the heads are separate characters from the bodies.
Right.
And the way I've got it categorized, those are two separate things. So, yeah, somewhere around 1,500. And I've, like I said, kind of dorky and engineer brain. You know, I've got it separated out to where I know exactly how many I've got from G1, G2, commemorative series stuff, Beast Machines, RID, Masterpiece Cybertron. But yeah, a little over 1,500. It's most of a room. Well, it's overflowing out of this room.
I was going to say, are they all over the house?
Not yet. We purchased a house this year, and most of my stuff is honestly still in boxes. I've got my room shelves set up.
Right.
I've kind of got things in their bags on the shelves where they're eventually going to go, but I haven't got them all out of the bags yet. Just slowly working on that. But yeah, that's just the Transformers. I grew up collecting Hot Wheels cars when I was really little, so I've got a whole bunch of Hot Wheels cars that I don't even know how many. And then I've got a little bit of so many other franchises. I've got Power Rangers stuff because, you know, I remember Power Rangers as a kid, and I've got, like, reissue Turtle stuff. I've got a little bit of MOTU Origins. I've got the 66 Batman stuff coming out from McFarlane. I've got a few Marvel Legends. I've got a little bit of DC stuff. Obscure stuff. I just picked up the Alf figure over the weekend at one of the local toy shops.
Very cool.
So I've just got just a little bit of everything to make it, you know, fun and not just like whole hog into one thing and you know, not really get any other ideas of how things could work. Because I think maybe some Transformer fans, collectors, they're just so focused on this one franchise. They don't look to see how well supported it really is compared to other things.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you know, like Alf stuff. you don't hardly get any Alf stuff, right?
No, you don't.
But they complain, oh, we don't get enough Transformers this or that. And, you know, they complain about repaints, but you look at, like, Marvel Legends. How many figures are made with the exact same body? They just
yeah.
Like if you were gonna get into Marvel Legends and not buy repaints, you'd have like six figures, and that's it.
Yeah, that's not good. And poor Alf, he gets no respect.
No, not at all. I mean, the stuff, the NECA. I remember what it is. It's NECA, right?
The new one. Yeah, it's NECA.
Yeah, the review I saw, it was fairly well articulated in the review. I haven't cracked mine open yet. That's on my to-do list. But yeah, at least what they are getting is good quality stuff. So
there's one Alf product we deserve, we need, we must have. Get your shit together, Funko. How hard is it to make? Seriously, how hard? I know this is Transformers, and I know I'm not supposed to be ranting about an Alf Pop on somebody else's episode, but Jesus Christ, Funko. How hard? You do all this other stuff, and yet you can't give us one. When Shout Factory announced and released the complete series multi, like, there's a super bundle of the DVD series from Shout Factory where you get like a poster, a t-shirt, a this figure, a that figure for like $275, like all in everything. How hard would it have been for Funko to say, oh, by the way, guess what? Let's team up with Shout Factory and finally give Mike his Al Funko Pop that he's been asking for since 2017. Sorry.
No problem.
So I think it's doable. I think it's doable too.
Maybe, I don't know why they haven't.
Maybe you could get somebody to do a custom, like take a Chewbacca body, mm-hmm. and then kind of re-sculpt the head, give him a little bit more of a nose.
Yeah.
It might work.
I mean, if they can do, and they have done this, and they're actually doing this now. So the Muppets Pops are practically pretty much vaulted at this point, the original Muppets Pops.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, as we are recording and eventually releasing this episode in October of 2023, they are releasing Muppets Christmas Carol Pops, and they are releasing a Gonzo Pop. Like, I know Gonzo's nose and Alf's nose are two very different things,
yeah.
But my point is, if you can do Gonzo's nose, you can do Alf's nose, too.
Yeah.
Come on, Funko.
That's a good point. That would be the holdup is the shape of the nose, because mm-hmm. most Funko heads are just kind of round.
They are, but they've had plenty of heads that are also very different. And yeah, look at some of the anime characters. And let's not get into that anime. Oh, Lord. So speaking about Funko, how do you feel about non-transforming Transformers? Because I know that's a thing with people. They're like, oh my god, it doesn't transform, it's the devil.
I mean, I've got all of the retro toys, mm-hmm. Funko Transformers line, minus the NFTs, and we all know NFTs are stupid.
They are, but I still want the figures.
Oh yeah, I would love to have them.
Yeah.
For a normal Funko retail price, not the astronomical things that they've turned into, I'm sure.
I think I looked at Hot Rod on Mercari the other day, and somebody was trying to sell him for like $150. So he's come down a bit. Gold Optimus Prime is unattainable. It's like $700, $800. I paid $800 for the 2008 BotCon set, and that had what, five regular figures plus that had eight figures in it for $800. That's basically $100 a figure kind of thing. I don't know if I can pay $700 for a Funko Pop Gold Optimus Prime. So here's hoping by the time I'm 75, it'll come down to a more decent price. But some of the other ones, like I mentioned, Hot Rod, I think Devastator's a decent price too. Like, when I say decent, under $200 is decent enough for me, kind of thing. I mean, look, people spend $200 or $300 on actual transforming toys. So, you know, for an NFT, you don't want me to go on that. I've already been on enough rants.
Like I said, I've got the Funkos. I've got, I don't know if you remember, there was a series called Alt Modes, which mm-hmm. they kind of transformed. Like, the head is fixed, but the tiny body. Little body will flip over and turn into a tiny little car.
Right, yeah.
I've got their pure novelty stuff, but I've got all those. I've got, I don't know, about 10. Yep, 10, because I'm looking at my Excel spreadsheet. 10 Loyal Subjects figures. Those don't transform. I've got 14 Super 7 reaction figures.
I can't get into those. I don't like them.
For the most part, I'm not interested, but some of the larger ones
mm-hmm.
are kind of interesting because they are very much Action Masters.
Yeah.
That's what they are. I've got Skyfire, Alpha Trion, because he came with like a soft goods type cape, I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
Devastator is one of the XL figures, so he's a little bit bigger, which is cool. Grimlock in Dino Mode just looks cool. The Unicron one, which is designed after the prototype of the toy.
The 80s.
It was cool. Ultra Magnus. I love Ultra Magnus, too. The toys, the red, white, and blue color scheme always gets me. The Shark Decon is kind of cool. And then the obligatory Optimus, Bumblebee, Megatron reaction figures. The golden ones and the metallic specials. And those were, I think, Target exclusives.
Yeah,
probably. You see them on the shelf, and you're like, okay, yeah, I'll grab it. Why not?
Yep.
Go pop. So I've got several. I've got the red figures, the Walmart exclusive robot enhanced design.
Yeah.
They're weird because they're this mismatch of Transformers and Marvel Legends.
Yep.
It's kind of like they went over to the Marvel Legends team and went, here's some Transformer design. See what you can do. Because they're kind of soft. They're not hard plastics. They're soft. And I think some of the characters benefit from it. The Transformers Prime RC.
Yeah.
Because to get that figure and transform, it's very difficult. Because it's a slender figure with not a whole lot of kibble type stuff hanging off of the original design.
Right.
And their Galvatron, I think it looks pretty neat. The Optimus really,
Yeah, it's like, not.
He doesn't have, kibbles and backpacks, but a good design like the Earthrise design didn't have much of that anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's a character that benefited from it.
Yeah.
Some are good, some are not great. But I don't know. It's a different part of the franchise for people that want to pose and experience it in a different way. It's not wrong. It's another thing that comes in and gets people to buy into the property.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you said, you don't necessarily transform your stuff because it's become somewhat difficult. Yeah. You just want to be able to put it on a shelf and look at it. And I think things like Red and Pops and Loyal Subjects, that's what they do. You put your character that you like on the shelf. And so many collectors, they get transforming toys and they'll complain about the transformation. But you ask them, how many times have you transformed a figure that you really like to transform?
Yeah.
And they'll tell you like 6 times.
Well, that's why back in the
day, they put it on shelf and they went on to the next one.
Well, that's why back in the day, and even more so now, depending on, I could probably be wrong about this, but lately most of the stuff has been packaged in robot mode. But that was one of the things back in the day, 10, 15, 20 years ago, why everybody was buying 2 of the same figure, one to open to put on your shelf in robot mode and one to keep in package in vehicle mode kind of thing. And now that Hasbro has kind of switched up a little bit, it's like, I don't know. It's all crazy.
Well, the way I look at it anyway, for what I collect and the way I display, I try to pose everything with a little bit of a more action pose to it.
Right.
And not just stick straight, which, looking at like some of the G1 stuff I have, that was your only option.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the newer stuff that does really have good articulation, give it a dynamic pose and then buy the repaint that's a different character and leave that one in vehicle mode or a third alt mode or something where you've got variation, and there's enough side swipes that an army of different poses, and they could all be different, and just so that's that's the way I like to do it. Is I don't necessarily buy 2 of the same figure, but I'll definitely buy 2 of the same mold or very similar molds so that I've got those options,
right?
Because why leave it in the package? I've got a handful of things in packages, but I don't really buy it just to leave it in the package for display unless it's, looking at the Throne of the Primes from Kingdom that was an exclusive type thing. You know, that package has, it's a display piece because of the way the figure's presented on a throne, and it's all tied together so it doesn't move around on you. Whereas if you open it up, it's kind of going to fall apart.
You know, oh, no.
That and the Quintesson Pit of Judgment, you know, that was another piece that I just left in the package because it's displayed already in a way that you want to have it displayed. And if you take it apart, it's not going to work out. But all the stuff in there, you can get in another form. You know, you can get the Quintesson Judges at normal retail. You get the Bailiff and all that normal retail. The Sharkticon. I actually bought extra sweeps from the Studio Series 86 line so I could have Scourge and his sweep. And then another one for, you know, his armada, like, you know, options.
Yep. Options are always good. What is the one Transformers toy you could never part with ever?
The one that I'm going to keep is the original 20th anniversary MP1. Yeah. Which it's not the Japanese release. It's the normal Hasbro, I think Walmart exclusive release with the battle damage. But that was the first Transformers figure that I bought really as an adult that got me back into like, oh, okay, I do actually want to like collect this stuff. And it's a little rough, you know, because I messed with it a lot. So he's got a couple of missing pieces and, you know, some of the accessories and the Matrix chamber doesn't always want to stay in anymore. The way it connects is kind of broken, but I don't know. It's just the one that got me back into it. And it's unique in the fact that it's just, it was the first masterpiece. It was the first of a new idea, you know, really high end collectible Transformer figures. And the stupid thing is heavy.
Oh. Yes, it is. Imagine if it was the MP04, which is the one with the trailer.
I've looked for that one. I've not found it at anything I would want to pay. But I've got an MP10. Mm-hmm. So I can display a masterpiece with a trailer if I wanted. I picked up the MP10 version. The Ghostbusters crossover version, that was kind of its own cool display. When MP44 came out, the price shock on that one was a little bit too much, but there's going to be a version, it's up for order now, that's MP44 in animation deco, but it's no trailer.
So, oh yeah, is that's not the new
No, it's not the Missing Link.
Yeah, it's not Missing Link. It's okay. So it's MP44 B C D or E, whatever they're going to call S. it to say, hey,
I believe it's S. Yeah. Oh. but the price is a little bit more reasonable cuz it doesn't have a trailer and I do display a lot of trailers. But I don't need every trailer, so I'm perfectly fine with not having the trailer for this one because he's going to be probably robot mode because the truck mode on 44 is not as impressive as the robot mode. So
cool. What was the most money you ever spent on a Transformers toy or toy item? Toy item could be animation cell, script, any of that kind of stuff.
The most for one thing is definitely Unicron. Hasbat Unicron. Yep. Yeah, when that was announced, I made it a point to eat as little as possible for the next 6 weeks. I just made sure I had to get that because I kind of recognized that that's one of those figures that the cheapest and easiest you'll ever get it is HasLab backing the original project.
Yep.
I haven't even opened it because it shipped right when I moved from Michigan to Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And I knew if I opened it, I was just going to have to put it right back in the box to move.
Right. Yeah.
And so I never opened it. And then we moved to Tennessee and I figured, well, we're going to start an apartment and eventually want to get a house. Yep. So I'll just wait till we get to that point. And we just bought a house this year. I still haven't got around to open it. It is a very excellent table. Yeah, yes. That's the most I've spent on any one item.
Yeah.
I know I got Titans Return Fort Max a few years ago, and I think that was maybe a little bit more pricey than it should have been. But it was after they first came out and you couldn't get them anymore.
Right, right.
Yeah. I made the mistake not getting Generation Thrilling 30 Metroplex and Fort Max when they first came out. But I've made it a point to try to buy the Titans and stuff when they come out. That's usually about as cheap as they're going to get. Some of them got cheaper a little bit later on, but not enough that I really felt bad about it.
Yeah.
I actually bought a Trypticon for like half price.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
And then when I opened it up, I realized it was missing pieces.
Oh, no.
It was, from what I could tell, it was factory sealed, but it was a return.
Oh, like no.
Somebody bought it online and returned it
right.
to them. And they had it on a clearance shelf.
Oh, son and, of a.
Yeah, Full Tilt was missing his like entire left arm.
Oh, my God. Poor Full Tilt.
Yeah. So that one, I hung on to it for quite a while, but I was lucky enough to find another one in box for basically retail what it was when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most expensive left arm I've had to purchase, but it's fine. I ended up selling the first one I got because he still displays well, just without Full Tilt stuck to his chest and good condition. It's battle damage. It's fine.
There you go. Yeah, that Unicron, man, I would only ever... I said this to somebody else on one of the other... This show or one of the other shows, I forget. If I ever got it, I would have to have somebody build me really, really strong ceiling mounts because I would only ever want it hanging in the corner in planet mode.
Yeah, and that's the other problem is... I've got a room for my figures and stuff, but when I open it, I still have no idea where I'm going to put it. It's just going to like have to sit in its own corner or something.
Yep. Very much so.
I have to get up in the attic and like maybe I'll drill a hole in the ceiling and kind of have it like halfway hanging out the ceiling. I don't know. Maybe look like it's reaching through the space bridge.
Oh, man, that would be hilarious. That would be awesome.
I'm really going to have to butter up my girlfriend for this one.
Yeah, you might have to on that. That's a little Tim Taylor project there. I'm sure you'd do it right, though. I don't think you'd cut any corners on because, hello, it's a $600 plus it's the rest of the apartment and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, that crashes down. It's going to take out the TV and reflection as it is. So I don't want that to happen.
Well, he is the chaos bringer. Yeah. Well, there's one way to bring the chaos. There you go. Do you have a My Parents Got Rid of My Toys story?
No, my parents never really got rid of anything. it's probably where I get it from. No, I did sell a lot of my TMNT and Hot Wheels and all that stuff I had as a kid. Thinking, I want to be an adult. I'm going to go to college. I don't need this stuff. Mm-hmm. I was dumb. like I said, I had the four original Turtles and the van and the Foot Cruiser and so many Hot Wheels that me and my dad collected and just decided I'm going to sell everything. And I'm sure it was at rock bottom prices and flea market and so much of that stuff I would love to have back now. but I've not bought all of it yet. Mm. Yeah, they didn't get rid of it. They didn't tell me I had to. I thought I'd sell it and make the money so I could go away to college and buy some other things I needed, like, books and a computer.
Yeah, exactly.
In the end, I've bought so much more other stuff and kind of shifted what I'm collecting. But it's always funny. I'll see somebody will post about some retro toy line that, is defunct and nobody knows a whole lot about. And I'll see it and I'm like, I had like one thing from that and I didn't even know what it was. It was just, because we would go to flea markets a lot when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I would just find a toy that I thought was neat. I didn't know any of the backstory to it, and I would play with it and mess with it. And it turns out I had something from Starcom. It's got this little dude with magnets on his feet. That's kind of cool. And I found out now that like all the Starcom stuff is kind of popular and expensive. And
very, yes.
There's one. It's not like Starcom. It's the vehicles were somewhat modular. You could like change out the wheels and add guns and I don't even remember the name of it, but like an incomplete vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
The local toy stores here for like $125.
Oh, wow.
Like I had something like that when I don't know where it went. I sold it.
Probably sold it. That's the end all be all of, oh crap, I didn't realize what I had.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, now it's time for the special questions. We are entering the Transformers Fantasy Funland. If you could voice any Transformers character, who would it be and why?
Probably Wheeljack.
Really?
Well, I mean, that's my background. I'm an engineer. It's fixing things and coming up with weird ideas and trying to sort out mechanical problems. And that's kind of my thing. And he's got in his latest iterations, kind of a weird southerny draw sort of thing going on.
Yeah, the Earth Spark version.
Yeah, and I grew up in southern West Virginia, and when I first moved north to Michigan to go to college, I actually had to relearn how to talk because my accent and draw was so bad.
Oh, wow. Dang.
Yeah. So I can do, I think, pretty well with that character now.
There you go. Who is your favorite Transformers actor / voice actor?
Well, I went to BotCon in Nashville last year. Mm-hmm. Is where I live at in Tennessee. It's within an hour. Enough. So it was a good opportunity to go and actually see who was there. Mm-hmm. And so I got to see Michael that voiced Trax. And actually, I got him to sign a commemorative series Trax, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, Michael McConaughey. Yep.
McConaughey. Mr. Welker was there.
Nice.
So very impressive. Grimlock.
Greg Berger.
They were all there and they did a reading panel, which was just cool to see them in person, just riffing on each other and going back and forth. But I think having at least seen Frank in person,
mm-hmm.
And just the way he brought so much energy to a room and like the joy that he brought the fans. I just think that's really special. And Peter Cullen, I mean, does the same thing where they really bring a lot back to the franchise that realistically for them 40 years ago was a paycheck.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they didn't go into it going, you know what? I'm going to influence children for years based on this one cartoon. And they voiced a bunch of cartoons. That's just what they did. That was their job. It's not much really different than like Budiansky at the time. He took a weekend to write what is now mythology that has lasted 40 years and grown to billions of dollars in revenue for a company. You know, it was just a job for them. But the fact that they come back, and you know, speak with the fans and really contribute going forward. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not, you know, it wasn't just a fleeting thing. I think they really recognize what it means to everybody that they've influenced. I think that's very commendable.
Yeah, absolutely. So this cannot be anything that Hasbro has already done or is about to release. But what is your dream masterpiece figure, Hasbro, Takara, whatever, same thing?
Ooh. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Masterpiece. But I know the Volkswagen Porsche licensing may be coming around, so they might be able to do Masterpiece Jazz would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
But they haven't touched like Cup. They haven't really done an official Masterpiece Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'd kind of like to see a Masterpiece. I don't know. Maybe Wreck-Car.
That'd be cool.
A little bit different.
Yeah. Absolutely, it would be.
The Studio Series one is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They could maybe amp it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I'm more interested in, you know, some more interesting collaboration type things. Because, like, the Ecto-1 Ectotron, I really thought that was a really cool idea. Like, yeah, it's based on a pretty innocuous engineering mold with the Inferno mold. Inferno.
Yeah, I forget what that's based on. It's based on the Ecto-1, right? So, but the toy mold, what was the rope?
Yeah, wow. The underneath toy mold, so it was Power of the Proms, Inferno, Combiner Wars, Protecto Bots. Hot.
Yeah, that would be cool. I think I think you're one of the only people that have actively said on any of the shows that they actually liked the crossovers. A lot of people don't like the crossovers.
Yes, it's not the standard Transformers characters, but it's another thing that grows the overall brand.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets you just those complete fantasy things that you wouldn't think you're going to get. You didn't think you're going to get
Gigawatt.
Gigawatt. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I would love to see Tom Cruise get out of his plane and then it turns into Maverick, a robot. Like, that would be cool. And it plays volleyball with him. I mean, the volleyball would have to be huge, but. Or maybe it puts Tom Cruise in the volleyball and then plays volleyball with Tom Cruise that way. Maybe that's it.
That's a little dark. that's a little dark. I mean, he's accepted a lot of missions, but that one might be a little bit too difficult.
I like the crossovers. I like just the fantasy land that you can go into with that.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see the licensing for them to actually be able to do, you know, the turtle van, because I mean, that's something everybody would love to see. That I really want awesome. The foot cruiser to come back.
Yes. Like, that would be cool.
I don't want to have to pay prices for a 30-year-old foot cruiser anymore. Like, I would love to have a reissue of that. And if it turned into a robot, even better.
Yeah. There is one, that, I think I first heard Proto Man say it, and I've been saying it ever since, but maybe I forget which one of us said it first, and I'm not trying to take credit from anybody, but the most logical Transformers Autobot car crossover. Get Trans Am on the horn, put a freaking red scanner on that black Trans Am and make it talk.
Kids. Oh, yeah.
They would make so much money if there was a transforming Knight Industries 2000.
You know, I think now that we talk about that, that would probably be the ultimate masterpiece. Because you want to do that at a bigger scale.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to use better materials, better paint, electronics. Because what's the point in doing it if you're not going to have the scanner actually working, right?
That, and if it has electronics, if it has lights, you got to give it sounds. And even though the man is 96 years old at the current time of this recording of this podcast, William Daniels is still here. He's still with us. He could record two or three lines, and you could have a modern day version of the Kenner Knight 2000 voice car, because getting one of those things working condition, the eBay prices make me go make love to the porcelain god in the bathroom, because my god, this makes me want to puke.
I've had a chance to see a couple in person at toy shops, and they're not mint condition, but they feel like mint prices.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you want the original Kenner Knight 2000 voice car to be mint condition, you are going to be paying like original shattered glass 2008 Botcon Rodimus prices, which I think the last I checked, Rodimus 2008, he's like $1,600. So the kit is probably like $2,000. Not trying to be ironic about it, but like 2024. I don't even know what the Kenner voice car kit, you know, complete, you know, fully functioning is going for anymore. But I looked at it a couple of months ago, and I just couldn't do it. Not that I was going to buy it anyway, but I couldn't even look at it, because it just was like, oh my God, my childhood.
Well, and the best thing about that is the way to amortize a lot of these prices, you have to do repaints. Mm-hmm. And it's very simple. You just take it and you change the light bar out to yellow, put a silver stripe down the bottom, and you sell it as car. It's very easy. And you know, if you've got kit, then you got to buy a car.
Yep.
So everybody's going to double dip. It's a win-win. I think they got to do it.
Okay. So, wow, it's actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be. If this is the right one. Oh, no, that's the remote control one. Dang. I see a lot of just loose package versions, but and I'll have to do some more research on it later. But, yeah, no, that would be really, really cool.
Yeah, I remember having a kit. It was the 1/64th Hot Wheels size kit, but it came with a launcher.
So
tube, and you slide it forward, and it shoots the car
Shoots the car out, yep.
Yeah, look for those. Those are expensive.
I was so surprised. I think it was, I don't know if it was an Amazon exclusive, but I bought it off of Amazon. Hot Wheels did a Super Pursuit Mode Hot Wheels car kit, and I've got two of those. I've got one out of box and one in box, only because I thought I lost the one that I had after I opened it, so I had to buy a second one thinking I'd completely lost the one I'd opened. And then moving from Washington here to Indiana last year, whenever the hell that was, I finally unpacked stuff, and I'm like, oh, there's the, so I don't really need the one that's in package anymore, do I? I do still have it, but it's just a Hot Wheels version, but it's so cool. It's on my desk.
I've got two or three of them myself. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I clicked Hot Wheels and Matchbox, and that size diecast. So I've got quite a few. The Super Pursuit, the non-Super Pursuit one, the non-premium where it's, you know, the regular wheels. It's not the nice rubber wheels. It's three or four versions.
Yep. Where do you stand on the Rumble is Blue, Frenzy is Red, or Rumble is Red, Frenzy is Blue debate?
Well, like I said, I never really watched the cartoon a whole lot as a kid. So my exposure really is toys.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter. Like, if you prefer the cartoon setup because the animation errors are so abound that it doesn't make any sense, or if you prefer this is what it says on the box, it's the same toy. Put it on your shelf. Like, how many people put them on their shelves and have the little labels like, oh, this is who this is? No, it doesn't matter. Just put your little cassette boys on the shelf and have them run around. I don't know. Like,
He's frustrated, ladies and gentlemen. The great debate of the color of the cassettes has frustrated the man. I always go with cartoon logic. Rumble is purple, Frenzy is black.
And that probably actually makes a lot more sense.
Yep. If you could create any TF fiction, toy, cartoon, comic, etc., what would it be and what story would you want to tell with it? So basically, Hasbro gives you the keys to the kingdom.
I just want something that explains why Cybertronian vehicles have cockpits. I mean, why do they have to turn into vehicles in the first place if they're on Cybertron? Why was that their natural alt mode? Just to go places faster, maybe? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can only walk so far for so long. I mean, it's a planet made of metal. You're going to want to race on it.
Why didn't they just all grow just wheels on their feet? Why do they have to turn into a completely different... I don't know. Maybe explain that part. Just the...
Reminds me of animated Bumblebee when he's using his wheels, his Hot Wheels, when he's in robot mode and he pulls his wheels out and he starts zooming around in robot. Oh man, animated Bumblebee. Oh boy.
Or maybe just I don't know, some of the engineering, like how does transforming work? Is it Transformium and Age of Extinction was correct, or
no? It's the transformation cog that caused problems for you.
I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how machines work. It bothers me.
Well, I mean, you know. Yeah, they're robots made of robot parts, made of metal, made of whatever. They're not partly metal, partly real. They don't fly around like Silverhawks, but, I mean, the transformation cog, if that doesn't work, then their transformation either isn't going to work or it's going to go haywire. Mm.
I don't know, just the weird stuff. Like, get more weird, I don't know.
If you could live in any Transformers world that you wanted, where would you live?
I don't know. I guess Cybertron.
Mm-hmm.
I never was really a fan of, like, water and lakes and not really good at swimming. There's not a lot of water on Cybertron. That sounds good. But what's the temperature like? Is it cold all the time?
I don't know.
Do I need a spacesuit?
Yeah, I would assume you would need a spacesuit. As far as temperatures go, I could not tell you. I think it's very metal and cold, but who knows? And you're only going to get water on Cybertron if you dig into that organic core really deeply.
Yeah, and it's Energon, and Primus is upset, and you put a Band-Aid on it.
That's right. All right, we are now exiting the Transformers Fantasy Funland. Final question, what is one piece of advice that you'd give the Transformers fandom and Transformers collectors in general?
Don't get your cog in a bunch. Like, yeah, everybody's first Transformer is different. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is a G1 purist. You know, it's not Beast Wars or Die. Just pick up the figures you like and, you know, don't pick up the ones you don't like. Not every figure has to be for you. You know, support the people that actually make the products. Like, be constructive about it. You know, if Mark or BMAC post something and you're not really a fan of the figure, be like, oh, that's really cool. And maybe try to point out something you do like about it, or at least the colors are good or something. I mean, be constructive with your criticism, not just, that looks dumb. That doesn't help anybody. You know, actually support it and don't try to tear everybody else's love of it down, you know?
Absolutely.
It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anybody with Transformers or Marvel or Star Wars or DC. Just be supportive. Don't be angry.
Yep. Absolutely. And it's funny you say that because I'm just like, sometimes I will ask on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, why am I not getting enough, like not enough engagement, but why am I not getting any engagement? At other times I'm like, can't you just scroll? Out of all the posts I've posted in the last 24 hours, this is the one you decide to give me a lesson in what my favorite character's motivations were when he was a petulant child before he was the leader of the Autobots, when supposedly he got the red and blue guy killed. Give me a break. Like, people, if you ain't got... Look, I'm plenty negative. I say negative stuff all the time, but really seriously, if it triggers you that much, just vent to yourself. Oh, God. It's a whole thing, but... Yeah,
it's the beauty of social media in this day and age. It's not who has the best opinions, the most informed opinions, the most, you know, well-constructed opinions. It's who's willing to type something out on Twitter 50 times an hour. Like,
well, and I've since changed it, but... As we're recording this, September 17th, 2023, the 39th anniversary of Transformers, even though it'll come out in the beginning of October, I switched my profile picture on Facebook to where Hot Rod is shooting the squid to save Cup. And because I had posted that photo like 2 years ago when it was the 37th anniversary, I didn't want people to, oh, what do you mean it's the 37th? So I redid the whole text of the post, and I just, in all caps, with one exclamation point at the end, best leader ever. And one of my good friends, who I will not name, but he knows who he is, just, and I'm like, didn't we have this argument last year? Why do we have to still have, like, every time, like, can't you just, there are plenty of things I see on social media that I do. If I'm not reacting to a post from somebody that I see the posts, because a lot of the times I don't see the posts, but if I see posts and I don't like it, I'm not going to react to it. I'm not going to comment on it. I'm just going to scroll on by because it's not worth the time.
No, it's not. That's the amount of stuff I actually interact with on social media is pretty low.
Yeah.
And if I do, it's a like or, you know, hey, that's a really good picture, or, you know, I don't think I've never done it, but I don't make it a point to comment that sucks or that's horrible or, you know, and anything I do post that's even relatively negative is if somebody's commenting like, oh, this part of my figure is broken or doesn't work. And, you know, I might say, yeah, I had the same problem. Maybe this is how you can fix it or reach out. Like,
yeah, you give constructive feedback, but telling me, like, just because I have an opinion because I like that character, and then telling me the whole history of why you think that that character's motivations are blah, blah, like, yes, I know this. That's beside the point. That's not the point here. The point here is 39th anniversary. I almost said 30th. Wow. 39th anniversary. Favorite character, best leader ever, exclamation point. No need to add your 7 cents into it. Oh,
trust me, if they're giving that kind of responses, it's not 7 cents. It's like 0.7 cents.
Well, yeah, but like out of all the things I like, if you and I don't know how much stuff of mine you see on social, on specifically Facebook. Let's not even Facebook. Lately I've not been posting a lot, but most times I'm posting either the podcasts or memories or whatever. But I've been on Facebook since July of 2008, I think. So that's a long ass time, and I've posted a lot in all that time. But like, out of all the stuff that I've posted, that's the one thing that this person, I was like, oh God, whatever. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. We're going to come back to close the show right after this.
We are Two Mics, Two Furious, a podcast where we watch every episode of Transformers Animated and discuss from two different points of view. I'm Mike Seibert, and I've never watched Transformers Animated before, and guiding me on this journey is author Michael Andrews.
Hello! Yes, longtime Transformers Animated fan, serial rewatcher. I've seen it plenty of times.
So if you've never watched Transformers Animated but always wanted a reason to, now's your chance. Likewise, if you've binged the series several times, it's a great reason to watch through again with us. Because regardless, if you're a seasoned vet or a newbie, there's something for every fan. Because I ask questions.
Why is Prowl such a dick?
So that he can be not a dick later, I think is the answer.
Subscribe to Two Mics, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Are we coming off furious enough? I feel like we're not living up to the... Are we supposed to be, like, more angry, more fired up? We're really in a good mood. We really enjoy talking to each other.
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the van.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers.
To He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba weep grana, weep ninny bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
We are back here on All Things Transformers as we march towards 500 episodes. As I mentioned at the beginning of this is episode 451. Steve Megatron will be back next episode. Most likely we'll probably be doing some news thing, or maybe we'll eventually get to doing our Rise of the Beasts discussion or something. I forget. I did finally see the movie on Paramount Plus, and I enjoyed it for the most part. So there's that, but I do have obviously some criticism of it. Is there anything you would like to promote, sir?
I don't really post or put much stuff out there. Maybe go support a local vintage toy store. Go find one in your area that maybe it's struggling a little bit. They're not the best, but support them because, you know, getting those little toy shops more exposure and more business, it's good for everybody in the long run. So you can find these older figures, be it Transformers or G.I. Joe or Mask or Star Wars or any of that stuff, because, you know, it helps people find some bit of happiness in a childhood long forgotten. Go out and support your local toy vendors.
There you go. There you go. Thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts. Leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcasting client you choose to use. Follow us on X, formerly Twitter, at Geekcast Radio for the network, at All Things TFV3. I am at TFG1 Mike. Would you like to give your Twitter out?
It's Alex Lee Dunn.
There you go. You can go check him out on X. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can also check out All Things Transformers over there as well. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Alex.
We hope you'll transform and transcend with us next time here on All Things Transformers. Oh, my God.